life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Again, that's Luke 9, 23 and 24. If you look in that passage, you'll see some things that pop out. And Jesus gives us direction on what we need to do to truly follow him. For whoever desires, it talks about to, in verse 23, to deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. What does deny self mean? Deny self of what? Deny self of yourself, of your desires. Deny yourself, take up his cross. Now, take up his cross is kind of a confusing thing. We think about taking up his cross, looking back at the cross. And think about them as they're looking forward. But in the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Christ knew that we would be looking back as he said these words as well. But the cross was the means by which they would die. The cross is the means that he would be killed. But to take up your cross, it's that bear your burden. Think about that. Christ bearing the cross. He's bearing the burden of the instrument by which he will be crucified. We need to bear our burden of surrender. Our surrender to God. We need to bear it. And it's not that you take up your cross and you put it down. You take it up and you hold it. And you bear it. It's a daily walk. In Scripture, Paul talks about he dies out daily. But then it says follow him. Then it talks about follow him. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Note the order. Deny self. Take up the cross. And then follow. Surrender ourselves. Carry it. Bear it. Now we go back into the parallel scripture. And it gives us some more clarity around it as we look at Matthew chapter 10. So turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 39. Matthew 10, 34 through 39. Now I cheated. I've got it bookmarked in my Bible, so I'll give you a couple minutes to find it yourself. But in verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. It's an interesting context. He says, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't love our family. He's saying, though, that we should love him more. More. And then in verse 39 it says, he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So we take up our cross. We're surrendered to our own crucifixion of self. So our fulfillment is not on holding on to the ownership of our life, but in surrendering it to him. I'll say it again. Our fulfillment is not in holding on to the ownership of our life, but surrendering it to him. Holiness. Foundational things about holiness. It's about surrender. It's about placing God in charge. It's about him being in control. Before I can follow him, I have to deny myself, take up that burden and follow him. I'm committed to the journey. Now, if we look into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, and we'll be reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. Chapter 2 is not a long passage of scripture, so there won't be a lot of verses there. But when we read this, we get some more context. We get some more setting of what's going on. So if we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Begin there, again in the New King James Version. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but when the Holy Spirit teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Let's step back through some of the scriptures and start to break this apart a little bit. In verse 13, Paul indicates that he's talking about spiritual things. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So he's talking about things that are spiritual. Spiritual. But. So anywhere you see that word, that means we've got some contrast there. But. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, the man void of the Spirit of God, the man on the street, the man that just is, he doesn't contain the Spirit, he doesn't have the Spirit, he doesn't know about the spiritual things because they're spiritually discerned. How can he understand them? And you can read some of that earlier in that particular chapter. He is natural. Without the Spirit, he is unsaved. He's the natural man. Paul goes on in chapter 3, and he starts out chapter 3. Of course, I don't know that he put the chapter marks in there, but he starts out chapter 3, and he says, and it almost sounds like, the Greek word there has a definition. It says, and also, even, indeed, but. So it's kind of like he's continuing the thought that the natural man does not understand the spiritual and can't. He's continuing that thought. He's saying that I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people. But he says, but as to carnal. Carnal. He's introduced another thing. He said natural. Now he's introduced carnal. So he couldn't talk to them natural man about spiritual things. And here he says, I can't even talk to you about spiritual things because you are carnal. And what does he say carnal is? It's being babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. They're Christians. They are saved. But they're not spiritual. They're not natural. They're carnal, but they're not spiritual. Natural, unsaved, carnal. They're saved, but they're carnal Christians. Carnal Christians. And then we come to the word spiritual. Those that are spiritual people. The Greek word here means that they belong to the divine spirit. They belong. Remember we talked about the ownership and who owns me? It means that I am owned by God. I am owned by the Spirit of Christ. I am owned. So to be a true follower of Christ, we talked about before, is self-denial. Taking up a cross and continuing to bear it. It's what's meant by spiritual in the sense that we are owned and controlled by the Spirit, not by ourselves. So I put together a visual. Now this visual comes from, I've used this for probably, well, a long, long, long time. At least back when I was in college. And they brought it up on the screen. I hope you can see it okay. Let me describe it for you. You can make one of these at home. Those that are watching online, those that are here, they actually have a paper. And as you look over here, you'll see I've got three circles there. Three circles. Now, if you're familiar with this, this I think used to come back way back decades ago from the Youth for Christ. But there's three circles. Now, if you know what, there's something missing in there, and we'll fill in just a couple minutes. But the three circles, you have one on the left, and you'll notice some characteristics on it, but you notice they all have an H in them. They all have an H in all three circles. I would hold mine up, but I don't think you can see it on the screen, and maybe not even in the congregation. So look to the screen. H in each of them, that represents the throne, our personal throne. The big circle is me, or you, as an individual, is that bigger circle. And each of those H's is a throne. And the I on there is kind of my identity. If those of you, the Freudian type concept, would call it the id, I would suppose. But that little I is me. It's who I am. It's me in there. And so that's how that's kind of represented. So in the unsaved circle, I didn't tell you what that circle was. That's the unsaved circle. You can label that the unsaved circle if you'd like. You can put the unsaved at the bottom. There, our AV person brought up the labels there. You have the unsaved. In the unsaved, the I is on the throne. The cross representing Christ is outside of the circle. Now, if I had a magic marker, and I don't want to go draw on the screen, but if you're filling it out at home or you're filling it out here in the congregation, you would draw circles to represent little dots. And those little dots would go inside of, they would go inside of the circle. So they would just go inside of the circle. And that represents sins that need forgiven. I'm unsaved. Jesus is outside of my life. I don't have the Spirit. But in this case, I'm unsaved. As I move over here, those dots move from inside the circle to outside the circle because I'm saved and Christ is now in my heart. But what do you notice about that circle? That even though Christ is in my heart, I am still on the throne. I haven't denied myself. I'm still carnal. Now, Paul uses in Corinthians, he talks about when there's strife between them, that they are you not still carnal? That's because they're trying to serve their own self-interest. That's what that tug and pull. The self-interest, they're not serving God, and they're not all aligned to God. They're fighting each other for what's best for me. And so that's that carnal, that strife, because I want what I want. And so my strife is, even I want to do what God wants me to do, kind of. if it works out for what I think I want to do? There's that war. I haven't surrendered yet. I'm still in charge. I still call the shots. Another scripture that comes to mind as you think about these circles, and maybe some of you are filling them in, and we'll get to the third one in just a minute, but you can fill in the left two if you haven't done so already. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've moved to the third circle. I am crucified with Christ. I have surrendered. Jesus surrendered himself to the cross. They didn't take Christ to the cross against his will. He surrendered himself to the cross. They didn't make him bear his cross against his will. He surrendered himself to bearing his cross. God doesn't call us to him against our will. He asks us to surrender ourselves to him. And in that surrender, we get off the throne. And we put Christ on the throne. So Christ is in charge. And he said, I am crucified with Christ, but yet I, the bigger circle, live. But the life I live, I don't live unto myself. I live it unto Christ, who is in charge. So, as we think back of what we read about that strife, when they says, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, they basically say, I got saved under this preacher, and I got saved under that preacher. And because I got saved under this preacher, I'm better than you because you got saved under that preacher. And that preacher's, and they're trying to raise themselves up on the totem pole. And you see that later in Corinthians, they do the same kind of thing. They have struggle with their gifts and trying to be preeminent and predominant and trying to put me first. I'm first. Supposed to put God first. We're supposed to be sold out to God. So if you want unity in a marriage, if you take two people that are both surrendered to God, they're both following God, brings unity. You want unity in parenting, parents surrendered to God. Because when there's issues, they both turn to God and his word to find the answers versus turning to some self-help book or the latest sermonette that called a sermon, but it may not be based on scripture at all. They're looking to figure out, how can I fix this myself? The first step is to surrender to God and establish on God. That's kind of the hub and spoke around the Marysville 3CU Church. And its startup is, Jesus talks about marriage and his marriage ministry and relationships in marital terms. And we talk about the family of God, but the family and marriage has eroded in our society. The Marysville 3CU Church is going to focus on ministering to people that have that need. If we work together, all under the same general, all under the same captain, all under the same person in charge, which is Christ, we get a lot more done. You ever been in a band where part of the band is looking down at their music sheets and the other part of the band is doing something else, but nobody's looking at the director? They won't come together. It won't work together. There's no harmony. There's nothing that pulls together. Or a football team, we're all calling their own plays. The coach signals in a play and the Part of the team listens to the coach, and part of the team's listening to themselves because they want to do what they want to do. It's not going to work. You're not going to get it done. Everyone needs to be surrendered to God and His will and His way. God wants you to enlist in His army, not just be a side soldier citizen. And when He gives an order, you've already said, I will obey it. There's no question when you're in the military, whether you're going to obey the order or not. It's just, yes, sir, how high, sir? It's whatever you ask, you're going to obey. You've relinquished that over to those that are in command. Jesus wants you to relinquish your will and your way to Him and place Him in charge. And the little ditty that I like, or whatever you might call it, is, if God is your co-pilot, switch seats. Make God in charge of your life. What circle are you in? Are you in the natural unsaved? Are you in the saved? Or are you in the sanctified? Now, sanctified means to be set apart. And some of you that have studied your scriptures, you might understand it means to be set apart. And we are set apart when we are saved. But the entire sanctification comes into place when we give it all to Christ. And we give it over. Then He's able to work on us. Work on us. And there's other sermons, many, many more sermons we could preach around that. But right now I'd like for you to turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2 to pull some of this together. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And this is my call to you. Whoever hears this now live or hears this later, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. See, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. You're talking to the believers. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Surrender to God, basically. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we surrender to God and allow Him control of our lives, then we are open to the instruction the training has for us. But if we don't think we need any help and we think we can go it ourselves, we're not going to hear what God asks us to do, because it's going to be hard and we're going to push it off. But if we're surrendered and let Him take control and let Him take charge, He can renew our mind. And as you come to the end of that passage there, a lot of people want to know, how do I know what God's will is? It says in here that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Said it right there. Prove what is that good and acceptable. You want to know what God's will is? You have to be in a place where you're surrendered to God so you can hear the spiritual things He's trying to tell you. You have to be in a place of surrender to know as He's talking to you, because then you're willing to do whatever He asks. And He's able to talk to you in spiritual terms and discern the scripture. If you want to know God's will for your life, first is you're saved. Second, He wants you sanctified. He wants you, if you want to be a follower of Him, we heard in the beginning of the sermon, He wants you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Do you want to be a true follower of Christ this evening? Or whenever you're seeing this video? So we're going to leave the live feed on, and I'm going to pray a prayer. And wherever you're at, if you need to surrender to God, you find a place of prayer, you find a place to kneel, wherever you're at, and you pray with me. Don't pray after me. Make a decision. But you pray as I'm praying. Lord God, I pray that you'd help us and help those in the sound of my voice, that your Holy Spirit that is limitless will go and stir hearts, that they might be surrendered to your will and to your way. That they might be willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll do and I'll say and I'll be and I'll go wherever you want me to be. I am going to be obedient to you. I am going to do what you ask me to do. And Lord, this little part of my life that I've been holding up, I'm going to let you in. I'm going to let you in this relationship. I'm going to let you give way and say over whether I stay in a relationship or not, or whether I get married to someone or not. Oh, Father, I'm gonna turn over to you my marital problem, and I'm gonna work this out because I know that you do not like divorce. Father, whatever their situation is, may they surrender to you and say, yes, Lord. May they know, dear Lord, that in saying yes to you, that's when the peace comes, because now we can rest on you and your wisdom and not on our limited wisdom in making the decisions that we make. Oh, bless now, we pray. We thank you, Father, for hearing us. This is our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, tell someone that you did it. And may the Lord bless you. We thank you for being part of this live service and participating in it. You can go to the website or tell people about the website, Marysville3CU.org. But I don't care about all that. I just care that the Holy Spirit has done a work in your life. May God bless you and go with you, we pray. We're good? Did you just turn it off back there?